Power of His love. That's what we're looking at. We shared that last Lord's Day. We want to look at 1 Corinthians 13 and 1. Okay. All of you this morning, when you came in, received a marble. Hold it up. Come on, hold up your marble. You received a marble when you came in the building today. You mean to tell me all of you have lost your marbles? Well, when you look at the aspect of what's going on in our world today and the lack of love in it, I guess you and I could look at the world and probably say, you know, people have lost their marbles. Just unbelievable. Because when you take God out of our knowledge and out of our hearts, you're taking love out. Because love is from God. Now, the world knows every aspect of love, sensual love, friendly love, whatever. But there is a love that only God gives us that makes and transforms human hearts. And that love comes from the Holy Spirit. And what we're seeing today is this unbelievable aspect of how much people are lacking love. So what you really did receive when you come in this building, I pray, was the love of God. I pray people said, I love you. You felt loved. You felt received, accepted, acknowledged, because that's who we are. We're the children of God, and we're children of love. Because God has granted us the privilege of being able to be the vessels through which His love flows. So as the songwriter said, I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on your brow, if ever I loved you. If ever I loved you, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore you in heaven so bright. I'll sing with a glittering crown on my brow, if ever I loved you, my Jesus, it is now. That's why we come around the Lord's table every Lord's Day, isn't it? It's to tell Jesus, man, if there ever is a time I love you, Lord, I want you to know I love what you did for me. I love that you died for me, you shed your blood for me. You were willing to take my sins in your body and bear them on a tree, and God then laid on him the iniquities of every one of us, and by his stripes we can be healed. Our relationship with God can be again reconciled, and all the aspects of that. The whole aspect of this is that John tells us very clearly, we love because he first loved us. That indeed love is from God. Love is from God. And because God is love, that's his very element of nature. To know God is to know love, because God is love. And every aspect of what you and I are as God's people, the product of that is that God intended for the love of God to be flowing through our lives to one another and to others that we meet. So it is that as you go through 13th chapter, you enter 14:1, chapter 14 and 1, and the writer Paul says, pursue love. Pursue it. Seek it. Want it. Desire it. Let God fill you with his love, and that should be your life pursuit. In the 13th chapter of Corinthians, it tells us 8 things that God love does, and it tells us 8 things that love doesn't. 8 things that it does, 8 things that it doesn't. So, as it is, all of you and I have a great, unbelievable resource available to us to be able to fill and to indeed accomplish an aspect of our lives. And, of course, that resource is the love of God. Mr. Yates was a herd farmer, a sheep farmer, basically in Texas. And you know how that was back in the old days. But he was living in poverty, absolutely poor. Exxon Oil Company was drilling all over Texas at that time, and their crew members decided that there was a great possibility that there could be oil on Mr. Gates's property. He gave them permission, and they went in, and they drilled for oil, and they found oil. And the first pump that they found oil in produced 80,000 barrels a day. And back then, it was worth $3 a barrel. Now think about it. Here he was living in poverty, but underneath him in the aspects of his life was all this resource to make him a multimillionaire. You think about that. And then think of us. Think of what people are doing today, living in this world, not knowing that underneath every aspect of life, when they look at materialism and look at the world, they have that resource, if you will. If they would just sink and dwell into the love of God, that they would find everything they're really seeking for. And it would fill their lives with value, with wealth. Not like the world gives, but wealth. Can you imagine the change in Mr. Yates's life? The transformation that took place and how indeed everything around him changed just simply because he, living in poverty, didn't know what he had available to him, what was there underneath, because he was nothing at that point in time. And all of a sudden now, he becomes something because of a resource that has found on his property. And of course, being as that was, he also be looked at by the world as wealthy. But you know what? Without love, Mr. Yates is nothing. Without love, I am nothing. Doesn't matter. I can have all the possessions of the world, I can have all of this, and I can have all that, but if I lose my soul, what does it profit me? What have I gained as far as the aspect of life is concerned? So without God's love, without that aspect of resource, everyone, man, everyone is nothing, absolutely nothing. So the world may consider and look at life and from their perspective, but God sees life altogether differently. Remember when Jesus was being confronted and questioned to try to trick him up? I shared this last Lord's Day. And it's not significant in my mind that it was a lawyer. A lawyer who came to Jesus and said, "Good master." Oh man, what a hypocrite. Come, "Good master, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" You know, they thought he would say, "Thou shalt not kill," whatever. They thought they could trick him up. Because if he said any one of those elements, they would say, no, that's not the great law. They didn't understand. Jesus knew that love is a fulfillment of the law. And so he said, the first is like this: "Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your strength." And the second is like it. It is love your neighbor as yourself. And then he said something very dramatic. He said, "And all of the law and the prophet hang on those two commands." Later, Paul said in Galatians, love is a fulfillment of the law. Love does no harm to one's neighbor. Love is what stops people from committing adultery, from killing, from stealing, from robbing, from doing whatever harm that it might do to another human being. Love is the only thing that will stop all that's happening in our country today and in the world today. Until God's love gets back into the resource of the hearts of human beings, we will still become, because out of the heart comes murder, fornication, adultery, whatever. Who can understand it, Jeremiah said, because the heart is despicably wicked. Who can understand it? What changes people's heart? What can transform a human heart into the resource that it can make an unbelievable impact for good on the lives of people? It's the love of God. Why in the world do we send money to India? Huh? Because we love the Indians. We love those people. We want them to hear the gospel. We want them to be saved. We want to have them in heaven with us someday. Right? Yeah, that's why we do what we do. If we don't do it out of love, according to the scriptures, according to Jesus, it just simply profits us what? Nothing. So think about it for a minute. It says here again. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Anybody want to say anything before I go on? No. Okay. "If I speak with tongues of men of angels, do not have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." Okay? We shared that last week. Love is superior to speech. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Right? You speak whatever it is that comes from the resource. What is the resource of your speech? what you have in your heart. It comes out of your mouth. Well, if you have love in your heart, what's going to come out of your mouth? Huh? Love. Love is kind. Right? Love is edified. Love makes people feel whole and complete. Love doesn't attack another person. It doesn't run other people down. Its resources continually the building up. Love only creates building up. And so that which proceeds out of the mouth, Jesus says, comes from the heart, and this is what defiles a man. So Paul says in Romans 5:5, remember what Paul said in Romans 5:5, the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So what is the first fruit that is mentioned in Galatians? The fruit of the Spirit is? What is it? Come on. Not everybody here. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love. Love. Love, love, love. The gospel, in a word, is love. Love thy neighbor. Love them as your brother. Love one another. Isn't that what the scripture says? Jesus said, they'll know you're my followers. You're my learners. You're my disciple by the way that you love one another. So the love of God must control the speech. Otherwise, that just makes me make a lot of noise. You say, well, you're doing that good this morning. I played the trumpet. Marilyn played the trumpet. We happened to be together. I was first trumpet. She was second. But the point is, I don't know if she remembers or not, but the drummers and the cymbals were right behind the trumpet section. You ever know what it sounds like when they bring those things together? Boom, 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 you know? I mean, seriously, I know that's why my ears are bad. I'm kidding. But you've heard clanging cymbal. You know what that is, don't you? Huh? Yeah, what is he saying? Do you understand what he's saying? Do you get the dramatic aspect? If you and I do not speak, and we don't speak in love, even though we can speak every language that there is to speak, we can even speak the language of angels. If we don't have love, I'm just a noisy gong. I'm a clanging cymbal, okay? That's what he says. Secondly, we go on, and what does he say? He says, if I have the gift of prophecy, know all mystery, all knowledge, and if have all faith, so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am what? I am nothing. Now think about it. The aspect of that is unbelievable. Think about what he just said. What is the aspect of that? If I have all faith... You know, people are a lot like cats. You know, cats have four paws and one mother. Man has four fathers and a mother. Oh, you guys are with it. I can tell. Yeah. Cats, when they smell a rat, they get excited. So do we. Yeah. Cats carry tails, and so do people. Okay? Cats have fur coats, right? And some other people have fur coats. Some people have fur coats, right? And those who don't say catty things about those who do. Right? There should be a radical difference between me and the people of the world. There should be no comparison between who I am as a child of God and who they are as a part of the kingdom of darkness. My love should shine brightly wherever I go, no matter where it is. Wherever it is, God has poured into my heart his love, and God wants me to shine it forth. God wants his love to be seen through the lives of his people. And you and I don't look like, nor do we walk like, do we talk like, and do we act like people of the world. We should be so different in who we are that they can tell we've been with Jesus. That we walked with him, we've lived with him, and he lives in us, he abides in us, and that he's making a radical transformation of our lives, and that we demonstrate his love to everyone we meet. And that certainly ought to begin in our homes, hadn't it? When you think about it. So what a strong appeal today. I mean, think about the appeal. Think about the aspect of it. I have the gift of prophecy. The ability to look into the future and to prophesy and tell events that are going to happen. I know all mysteries. I can explain all the mysteries of the world that people can't understand. I've been gifted. Remember, like Joseph was gifted about the cows coming out, eating the thing. I mean, think about it. All the mysteries of man. I have the ability to do that. I have all faith so as I can remove mountain. But I don't have love. Matters nothing. Absolutely useless. But that's an appeal, isn't it? Having all knowledge, having all abilities, having all power, having all that aspect. Knowledge is wonderful, isn't it? Yeah, it's wonderful. Knowledge is wonderful. It appeals to the intellect. But you know what? Love is more powerful because it appeals to the heart. Love is more powerful because it appeals to the heart. In Colossians 3:19, Paul says, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. To know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Well, the fullness of God, God is love, then I would be filled with his love. Paul said in Ephesians that you and I, as God's people, appeal to us that we be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. That we would know the height, the depth, the length, the breadth of the love of God and be filled with the fullness of God. Be filled with the fullness of God. So 1 Corinthians 13, however, if you remember, tells us very clearly, if you will, go down, let's see, how do I do that? Oh, give me a button. Okay. Love is patient and kind. It tells us what it is. Go down one more time. But it said love never fails, right? But if there are gifts of prophecy, they're going to be done. They're going to be done away with. If there are tongues, they're going to what? See? If there's knowledge, it will be done away with. There's now faith, hope, love, these great three. But the greatest of these is what? So love is going to outlast knowledge. It's going to outlast everything. Love is. You know that, don't you? I'm not telling you anything you don't know, I'm sorry, but I know you know this. Faith is not someday going to become sight. You're going to see him. We're not going to live by faith any longer. Hope is going to be fulfilled because you're going to be there. Your hope is coming, right? But love is eternal because love is from God. God is love, and therefore love will never end, and love is what never fails. Never fails. God's love isn't going to fail. God loves you, God loves me, and I guarantee you God's going to save you to the uttermost if you just let him, okay? Because we love him because he first loved us. Love begats love, right? So if I want Marilyn to really love me, what do I need to do? I need to be loved to her. Look at the difference. The world, love is a feeling. It's an emotion. It's something that is an aspect of human origin. The love agape is from God. And God's love is kind and patient. God's love does not take into account wrongs that are suffered. Love endures all things. It believes all things. Love will not fail. God's love will not fail. That is the quality of love and the resource that God's offered to every one of us. And it comes through the gift, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within each of our lives. You can't produce it. You can't manufacture it. It comes from God to your heart through the gift, the indwelling. God pours that love into our heart. So having all the faith, that miraculous power to move mountains, to be able to say, mountain, move. I mean, good grief, but I don't have love. Doesn't mount to a hill of being. Really doesn't. In 1 Thessalonians 3:12, Paul said, and May the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people. What? May the Lord, may God fill you with his power of love and cause you, motivate you, make you a man, a woman of love. I'd like people to say and get down to a point where they no longer say, what? Marilyn, I love you. I'd rather be able to say, Marilyn, I want to show you what love really is. I want to be loved to you. That makes sense? Hasn't God been love to us? Hasn't he demonstrated it? How do I know he loves me? He let his son die for me, right? So the aspect of that is unbelievable. But in closing, number three, just think about this. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Young couple were getting married. The preacher was going down through all the espousals, and better for worse, sickness and health, and on and on. He was going, and finally came, until death do us part. And the young man groom said, hey, wait a minute, preacher. Don't I get time off for good behavior? There's no time off in God's plan for you and me to be a vessel of love. For better or for worse, sickness and health, doesn't matter who the person is, they need to see the love of God. See, Jesus demonstrated it, but the only way the world's going to know God's love is through God's people. That makes sense? We have got to show it, live it, proclaim it, and let people understand how much God really loves them. Many associate love with giving, but cannot a person give without giving and motivated by love? Huh? Yeah, they can. They can give because it's just a common thing to do, or they can give because they want to be seen of men. They can have many reasons why they give, right? The aspect of that. Rockefeller, they had his caddies, you know. They say that Rockefeller paid every one of his caddies a dime a day. Well, you know who Rockefeller was, a dime a day. You think he really loved those caddies? I think he was kind of catty, don't you? Point of it is, you see, you and I think of all the religions of the world today. You understand what's going on today? You know people give their bodies to be burned today? You know, there are religions that still in Africa and other parts of the aspect where God's love hasn't go, that they actually sacrifice their babies to appease their gods that they believe in, that they built statues to. That is going on. Did you know that? Well, we abort babies. Well, that's an act of love, right? No, that shows how ungodly, on lawlessness, and how much God is no longer a part of our culture. That we literally can do that to another human being and not have any conscience about it, or we'll just let it come out. If it's alive, we'll lay it over here. We'll make it comfortable. Then we'll make a decision whether it shall live or die. How in the world can we be there? Why is God's name, are we as a people, as a nation, and our Senate and our people making passing laws that's okay? Why? I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? Or don't you agree? Well, I'm sorry. If you don't agree, then you don't know the love of God. Because I don't care what it is, who it is, whatever. I believe life begins when the blood begins to flow in the fetus. I believe life is in the blood. When you stop the flow of that blood, you murdered it. You killed it. Not a living thing anymore, whenever that blood starts to flow. That's my conviction. And the aspect of that, of course, is we know what happened at the towers in New York. We know what the Japanese did in the Second World War, where they literally gave of themselves sacrificially, crashed their planes into ships, believing, however, that they were going to go to their heaven. You think about it, okay? And look at all the things and occurrences now where people wrap bombs around their bodies and walk into subways and go in and blow themselves up and kill and maim how many people today? Well, let me assure you, and you already know it, it profits them nothing. And they'll answer for it someday. Because that is not God's love. The love of God does no harm to anyone. It doesn't lie about them. It doesn't do anything that's going to cause that other person harm. So no matter what the world does and all the religions of the world does, whatever they are, if it is not of the love of God, then it profits them nothing. That's a aspect, of course, going back to the word love. It's a verb, isn't it? And so with the love not in word, but in deed, it needs to be demonstrated, has to be seen. John Wooden was a unbelievable coach for the UCLA. And he had records after records after records. And they asked him how come and what was there about him of why he could motivate his players and why he turned out such unbelievable teams. And John Wooden said, well, let me put it this simply. I'm a Christian. That's what he said. And he was. He's a member of the Church of Christ in Texas. So I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. He said, and it's a poem I live and I love. A bell isn't a bell until you ring it. A song isn't a song until you sing it. And love that is in us wasn't put there to stay, and love isn't love until you give it away. May God help us to be a people of love. May every act, every deed, everything we do not only profit us, but it may it profit the person that we're demonstrating that love to. Amen? That's why we pray for one another. That's why we come together on the Lord's Day. Because if everything else, this is a table of love, people. This is a table of love. How do I know that God loved me? Because he let his son die for me. And if I love him, he invited me to come around this table on the Lord's Day and to remember the price that was paid for my salvation. How can I stay away? I not only come for this, but I come for you. Whether you know it or not, I love this woman. She's been like a mother, even though I'm sure our age difference isn't that much difference, you know. Why do I come? I come because I want to be around people who love me and who I love and share in fellowship with you and a fellowship of love. That's why I come on the Lord's Day. I don't get to see you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday most of the time. Sometimes we get together. But on the Lord's Day, because you love the same Lord I do and I love him more than anything else, we come together to share our love for him and for one another. You walk in that door, you don't need a marble. You walk in that door, you need to meet the love of God. God's people, opened arms. Good to see you. I love you. I love you. Isn't that what it's all about? You know what? If we love one another like God loved us, then it's going to profit everybody. It'll profit everyone. And that's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. Let's pray. Dear God and Father, we do thank you for the example of your love in Christ. For that great gift, that powerful gift of demonstration where you allowed Jesus to take our place on the cross. God, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of your glory and your will. But what a merciful, loving God you are, that you were willing to allow him to come, take our sins and our iniquities in his own body, and to bear them on a cross, and pay the price, and pay it in full. So God, we want you to know that we love you. We're here to serve you. We're here together to do your will. So I pray you'll bless everyone that's come this morning, that your Holy Spirit will come upon us and fill us with your love, that we can comprehend together with all the saints that are here the height, the breadth, the length, the depth of the love of God, and be filled with your fullness. Fill us, Lord, today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to sing our closing song.